Our director of drug and alcohol ministries is Lenny Patiao. And God is using this brother. And we are excited about what God wants to do throughout these counties and throughout this state, throughout the Northwest, throughout the United States, and then throughout the world with what he wants to do and treat these problems, these sin issues that prop up as, should we say, secondary, but we know what the real issue is people making decisions to be committed to walk with God and do what's right that please him. So ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct privilege to introduce to you the director of the Antioch Drug and Alcohol Program and Ministry, Mr. Lenny. Thank you. Do you want to go up?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being able to come before you this day and this hour, Lord, and just glorify you, Lord. And Father, in everything that we say and do, may it be according to your will. And may it be always one that will glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about the drug and alcohol ministry. And at this time, I'd like to call up some of my guys that you're going to hear some testimonies about guys that has gone through our treatment program. So, come on, guys. Maybe we can have everybody come up instead of one by one, so they can feel comfortable. This is Jack and Sherry Compton. I'll just let them introduce themselves and tell you just a little bit about themselves as well as the what the program has done, what Christ has done in their lives, and then we'll move on. They're kind of nervous, so...
My name is Jack Compton, wow, I just want to kind of say how my life has changed in this ministry. I am a graduate from the drug and alcohol ministry now, and I'm an outreach coordinator, which works with the new people that are coming into the program, and we kind of contact them. Welcome them, and if they have any requests or needs, we kind of help them out with it. I'm 48 years old. I struggled with drugs and alcohol for about 27 years, almost 30 years. I've been through 5-6 treatment centers, but there was always something missing in my life. And until I accepted Jesus Christ in my life, Nothing else has ever worked. There's always been a hole here that never was filled, and it's filled. Amen. There's one thing I want to read here, if I can see. It's kind of a before and after for me. Observing God's love from afar is only a passing delight. But when we experience Christ's presence, our darkness is turned into light. This program has also taught me how to be the leader of my family that I need to be and the father to my children. And I just thank God that I'm here today. Yes, sir.
I'm Jack's wife, Sherry, and I've been given a minute and a half to 2 minutes, and if you know me, that's really asking a lot. I have a 30-year story that I got to tell you in that long. So I studied really hard last night and asked people to pray for me, and I had to write it just because I found a verse that I think explains my story really clear as a wife and mother who lost her husband and asked the Lord to not only be my father but my husband and the father of my children. And he did that. I can't even, if anybody has time sometime and they just want to talk to me, I can tell you all about the incredible blessings. Providing a home to a mother with no income and 3 kids, paying bills that were hundreds of dollars over what I made, but I never was late on a bill, feeding my everything. He just was there for everything. And the bottom line is obedience to God. That's what it's about. It's not about walking away from having it happen over and over and thinking, that's it, I'm done, I want a divorce. I thought that for a minute because I thought, well, I know the Lord doesn't want this for me, but I know He doesn't want that either. And I had some very special friends, Jim and Kelly Willie, who they are very obedient to the Lord, and they go here to Antioch, and they help me to keep digging in the Word deeper to find what I was looking for. And I found it, and I stuck with it. And it's about obedience, and it's not easy. And I have absolutely nothing to do with it personally. But when the Lord steps in, it's just better. It's easier to fight the battles if you know you're going to win. I just need one more minute. I studied for about 3 hours last night because that's how I do it. That's how, even if I have to talk for 1.5 minutes. But 1 Kings 17:13-16, this is my story. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah.
Amen.
I just have one little thing here. This is what I found to be true out of everything that I gathered. My husband fought this for a long time. Therefore, we fought it, and so did our children. And the only weapon against addiction is the Lord. That's it. It's not treatment centers. It's not AA meetings. And those work for some people, and that's fine. But I just know that you can really go beyond if you've got the Lord filling that hole. And the family that I have now, I have never had before. The love, the Antioch family, when you walk into one of our meetings, it's powerful. The prayer. I mean, that's all we have to do is ask, and we get it. We get it in His time, but we get it. And I can't urge you enough to get involved in the codependency group if you have an issue, the drug and alcohol ministry. Serve this church, because I've never had a family like I have today. And if you're going to be addicted to the Lord and all that He is and represents and promises to be, and you will be free.
Oh, my name is Melvin Jenkins. You might know me from playing professional football for the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Falcons. I can make this short. I have to make a short version of my life. You know, I've been paralyzed twice. I've been paralyzed twice, and I'm here to tell about it. And I'm just want to say, you know, through all that, you know, I live with pain 24 hours a day, and I got addicted to alcohol and drugs. But thanks to Lenny and Pastor Hutch, I appreciate this program and this church. You know, and before I go any further, let me give honor to God, who's the head of my life. Because I know if he's not doing it, it's not getting done, and I truly believe that. And it behooves me to go through a situation of what I've been through, because no one knows what I've been through, and nobody knows what I'm going through right now, but I know God knows what I'm going through. I thank God every day for the pain that I live with 24 hours a day, but I don't take any medication. I work out a lot, run and train kids. But God is doing a lot of things in my life right now. I told Lenny, we had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I said it behooves me not to go out here and talk about what God has done for me. I think God is, he's ordained me to do something like this. And I'm looking forward to it. You know, I was really glad when he called me yesterday, and I was headed to the church picnic at Unity Church of God in Christ with my kids. And he asked me that, and I said, I was like, whoa, you know. You know, so be careful for what you ask for, because God will give it to you. But in the midst of the storm, and I knew when he asked me that, and I said, okay. You know, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, fasting and praying, you know, give me what to say, how to say it, because I believe God can do anything but fail. Because I remember one thing, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I believe that. And as long as I got God on my side, I know I can't fail. So I want to thank you guys for this program.
Hello, my name is Kenny. First thing I want to thank is God, my mother. I've been through 6 or 7 treatment programs. None of them work for me. And so my friend, dear friend Paula, got a card from her friend Colette with Antioch and Lenny's name on it. So I went down and talked to Lenny, got in a program. Still trying to play the system, wouldn't work. Especially not with Lenny. So I even got kicked out of there a few times. But we went to this retreat one day and spent 3 days there. And I found God, and that's what really turned my life around. And with my support group here and stuff like that, and I've been clean now for about 6 months. So, right on.
Wow. Boy, I don't know how to follow that. Woo. My name's Bobby Crawford, and I have recently completed a couple months ago the first phase of the drug and alcohol treatment here at Antioch. And let me see, I'm trying to think. Lenny picked me up out of jail, didn't know me from anybody, didn't know who I was. I asked to be admitted into the program here, and within 2 days he was down there and campaigning for me, advocating for me, telling the judge and probation, we'll take her, she's worth it, come on. And I'll tell you what, it has totally changed my life around, totally. I've never been through any treatment program before. I became addicted to methamphetamine about 5 years ago. And this was my first time, but I can tell you what, I can't see any. Well, let me back up. We all know this is the only church in the state of Washington that's certified by the state for this type of program, okay? Right. There's got to be more. There's got to be more, because I'll tell you what, you can't do it without Jesus Christ. And these other treatment programs probably do not have the success that they should have, because that's what's missing in their programs. So I cannot believe the things that God has done through Lenny, Arlene. They were my family for 2 months. I lived with them. And Kenny, these guys, Tom, everybody. God has worked miracles through them. And everybody at Antioch. I missed you guys. Hi.
Hi, Hi, my name is Tom Keeney. I am very nervous. First of all, I'd like to say I'm very thankful to be able to come here and that this program's here. Alcohol basically just ruined my life for a long time, and it ruled it. I'd like to thank Lenny and his wife, Arlene, for taking me. There's been a lot of changes I've noticed. My life is, you know, it's great. I'm a new man. I feel good. Yeah. I don't know why I fought it so long, because my cousin Steve down here, he told me, Tom, man, you know, this would be a good place for you to go, and I came in and I sat down with Lenny, and I was kind of nervous about Lenny at first, you know, he really laid it on me good, but I'm glad he did, and I needed that. And if there's anybody out here that you know, has the same problems that I have or any of us have had, this is the place to go because it helps. It really does. I've been to other treatment centers, and you didn't feel loved and really cared about. I think it was more about maybe just the money, you know. But I feel good here. I feel loved, and that's the most important thing, I think. But I'm very thankful. Thanks.
Those are just a few of the guys that has gone through our program and is currently going through our program. You know, there was this little kid that needed a pair of tennis shoes, and he went to the church and he lifted up his he brought his prayer request to the church because he wanted to play basketball so much. So everybody prayed and they asked the Lord to provide the child with a pair of tennis shoes. And the following week, one of the church members seen him and said, hey, Johnny, did the Lord give you that pair of tennis shoes? He said, no, not yet. So he said, well, we're going to take it back to the church and we're going to pray about it. So he took it back to the church and they prayed about little Johnny getting a pair of tennis shoes for his basketball game. And then the following week, the pastor came by and seen little Johnny. And asked little Johnny, he said, hey, little Johnny, did you get that pair of tennis shoes from the Lord? And little Johnny said, no, Pastor, I didn't get that pair of tennis shoes. And so the pastor said, well, I'm going to take it back to the church and I'm going to pray about it. So the pastor went back to the church and he said, dear Lord, you know, this is the third time we came before you and lifted up little Johnny's pair of tennis shoes. And you haven't answered the prayer yet. And if you don't, I'm going to buy him that pair of tennis shoes. And that's what the church did. The church reached out to people with drug and alcohol problems. And these are testimonies that you've heard. And again, they may say Lenny, but actually it's the Lord. It's Jesus Christ that has set them free. What we do is we give them that continuum of care. You know, we give them the drug and alcohol treatment they need, the support group that they need. They're here in church. They're involved in the ministries. And most of all, they get love. They get love. And the people who's been in treatment before, they're just looked at as money. And that's what Antioch has taken away from them and from the businesses out there, is the money part. And taking that money situation away has helped us to minister Christ to them. And that was our goal, was to minister the Word of God and to lead them to Christ. And so you see some success people here, but there's a lot more. And since receiving our license in November, we've had about approximately from today at least 200 people that came through the program. We also have other churches that's coming on board, and they want to provide support groups. They want to provide treatment. And so we're working right now with Overlake to start up in September. We're working with Grace Conservative out in West Seattle to start up a support group as well as a treatment component for them out there. And, you know, one of the things that makes this program works is the volunteers that came forward and volunteered for this program. See, I may be the director, and I may be just a person that provides a small part of this program, but there's other volunteers in this church that has really worked hard in providing the support that people like Kenny and people like Melvin needed. I mean, Kenny was our roughest case. You know, no one could get him sober. Not even I. I mean, we argued and argued and argued. He got kicked out of the program 4 or 5 times. But until Kenny realized, and, you know, one of the things that one of the people I wanted to recognize here today is the Kalkowskis. You know, if it wasn't for them and them allowing us to use their home for a drug and alcohol retreat, probably Kenny would still be arguing with me about his drug and alcohol use. You know, so it takes volunteers to come forward. And we have goals for this. We're licensed for intensive outpatient, and one of the things that we see is that we need a residential treatment center. And we're negotiating with Shikshato. And one of the things that I've heard in the past was that why are we getting Shikshato? What we're doing here is we're writing grants for that to obtain that hospital. We're not. All the money that you're donating is not going towards Shikshato. We're writing grants, and we're seeking government and federal funding and state funding. And this is how we intend to accomplish that. You know, God came down here to serve. And as you heard, one of them, they said that I called them yesterday to ask if they would just say a small word. And that's what we teach in our ministry. We teach them that it's not about you. It's about serving other people. You know, and that's what ministry is all about. That's what Christ came. Christ was a person that had all power under his control, and yet he became a servant to you, me, and everyone else. And that's what we teach there, because one of Antioch's philosophy is people first, program second, and building thirds. And so, you know, we put them first in the program, and now they need to put other people first in the church. So it's all about serving, and it's not about themselves. In other programs, they say it's all about you and just you. And here we're not saying that. We're saying it's about the other person. You know, church, when you look at these guys, I'm so proud of these guys, because they came up here and they was able to confess to you guys what they've been through. You know, how many people this week have been blessed by God? How many of you guys? And how many of you guys this week have blessed God back by ministering? See, by ministering the word of God, that's what these guys do. I mean, Kenny was out there a couple months ago. He was trying to lead a couple of guys to the ministry, and they were drinking beers, and he was saying prayers while they were holding cans of beers in their hands. And that's ministering. You know, God's word never comes back void. You know, and God loves us so much that's why he came, and that's why we're all here. See, we're not here because we're perfect. They may have issues, but each and every one of us in this church has an issue that brought us here today, that said that we needed God. And that's why we're sitting here. And other churches, they don't want this program. They do not want this program. But let me tell you something. The person that is on drugs and alcohol is your neighbor. The person that is addicted to drugs is the registered nurse that's administering pain medication to you, to your loved one, or to someone else.
The person that is addicted to drugs and alcohol is the athlete. It ain't someone that you step over, that you see dirty. It ain't someone that you see all scraggly with a long beard. It's someone that's in the police force. It's someone that's working on airplanes in Boeing. See, how would you like to be flying an airplane knowing that, oh, this guy was on crack and he was working on this airplane? You know, and how many of you guys out there know, have been impacted personally or know of someone that has been impacted by drugs and alcohol? See, and if you guys have been impacted, then I'm asking you guys to get involved. To get involved in the conference that's coming up. Because there is a conference that's coming up on September 7th, and that's going to be the first conference that's bringing the churches and the state together on one chair. See, the state, people tell us, well, why do you need to go to the state? Why don't you let the state handle this? Because if we don't go to the state, who's going to minister to the state? Who's going to minister to the county? That's what our job is. God is telling us, you need to go out there and you need to preach the gospel. And if each and every one of us has been blessed by God this week, then why aren't we going out there and ministering to somebody? If you come in my neighborhood, all my neighbors know that we are Christians and where we serve is at Antioch. And they know exactly what we are. How many of you guys, and I'm challenging you guys today. I'm encouraging you guys to do this. How many of you guys' neighbors know who you are? See, not too many. See, all it takes is a simple letter. Hi, my name is Lenny. I'm a born-again Christian. I accepted Christ. This is who I am. And went around and passed out Bibles and asked them to read the book of John and say, hey, have a cookie on us while you're reading the Bible. See, that's part of ministry. If your neighborhood don't know who you are, how are you going to go out there and change people's minds? How are you going to go out there and let people know who Christ is if we can't let them know who is within our neighborhood? See, what scares me is that people think that the alcoholic is that filthy guy. No, man, I was a crystal meth user. I was a heroin user, and I was clean. You could not tell if I was on drugs. You could not tell. And how would you like to be in your sick bed and your nurse came up and gave you your medication, and you're over there saying, man, I still feel pain, doctor, and you have the doctor looking at you as if you was the dope addict? We've had people come through our program that was registered nurses. These are just a few people that has taken a stand. And when you tell them about Christ and you tell them, can you help serve? The first answer to them is, okay, I'll go out there and serve. It's not, well, you know, Nate, Lanny, I got a schedule here. They're willing to go out there and serve. And that's what we teach them. See, because we opened up our house for a transitional home. And if I don't act the same way in my home as I act out here, then I'm playing a plastic game. See, and these guys can tell you that the same way I act out here is the same way I act at home. See, and that's what we need to stop doing. We need to stop. I mean, in drugs and alcohol, when you come to treatment, it's all about processing. It's all about confrontation. And confrontation means, clinically speaking, is to face the truth. And all I'm doing today is throwing it out there and say, how many of us are living double life? Do we go home and we live this certain life? And do we come out in public? Do we live this certain life? And do we go in church and live this certain life? How many of us are doing that? I know I was one of those guys until I got tired. And what we do is we have them put God on their throne and let them be the person that exists in God's world. And let God run their lives. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. See, for the person that's on drugs and alcohol, it's all about belief systems. No matter where you go, in society today. See, I built five drug and alcohol rehabs. I built four in Seattle and one in Tacoma. So I know what they teach out there. And most of the drug and alcohol agencies out there teach about your belief systems, the cycle, the belief cycles. And guess what? The belief cycles that they use and the theories that they use and the resolutions that they bring about only brings about a relapse. One of the greatest sayings out there is, relapse is the process of recovery. I don't believe that. I don't believe that because once Jesus Christ heals, he heals. And how do you get continuous healing? By hanging around with people that's already healed. See, that's why we built support groups, so that they can go and they can identify with these people. And guess what? Drug and alcohol addiction, that's just one type of addiction. Do you know that there's eating addiction, sexual addiction, gambling addiction? Just about everything today is addiction. So when you look at this program, this is not just a drug and alcohol program. This is a program that if you feel you need support because there's a problem, come on down. Let's talk about it. I won't try to convince you. I'll let the word convince you. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See, God is calling us just to offer ourselves, not our wallets, not our chains, not anything, not our homes, not anything else, just ourselves. It's saying, present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God said, in the Bible, it says, be holy, for I am holy. And we only can be that through Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we can do, is be holy. Because when we stand before the judgment seat, God doesn't see us. He sees Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, we're accepted. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we teach. People ask me, well, how do you change your belief system? Well, you got to be transformed. You cannot be conformed to this world. See, right now, this world out there, it's all about money. I mean, we got kids going to school that we need to be concerned about. I mean, we think that they're safe in the churches, but if you go home and you have a very good, honest-to-goodness talk with your child will tell you just how much drugs they've been exposed to out there. See, and the only way to make them stay away from that is by daily transforming their mind. It's not being conformed to the world. Being conformed to the world is about money, having status, dressing nice, looking good. I don't like dressing in white. I just like dressing in jeans because when I was in prison, that's all they dress us up with. So I got comfortable to that. You know, but out here, people seek for that status. And if you see someone with a bigger house, they'll go out and try to buy a bigger house. If a child sees someone with a 21-speed bike, he wants a 21-speed bike. And if you can't provide it, guess what's going to happen? He's going to find the ways and means to get a 21-speed bike. And nowadays, the world out there is telling people that it's through drugs and alcohol that you can get this. See, drugs has impacted society greatly. I mean, it's so great that people are blatantly killing cops now. See, it takes a lot to kill a police officer. It's you know, most people I find that I've done time with, it's easier to kill someone that doesn't have the badge on them. That's what they said. But in our society today, people are blatantly killing cops. And drugs has just run rampant. When you walk in the hotel rooms, you walk in other homes, you don't know if there was cooking up a lab in there. You don't. Unless you know the signs and symptoms about looking on the dresser, how to detect how they was cooking. There's little bubble spots on the dresser in the hotel room. That's how you know. Looking in the sink for little rust spots. That's how you know. And see, our children out there, as well as your relatives out there, is at risk for all of this. They're at risk. Now, how many of you would ever think that a drunk driver would kill you or your loved ones? I do, because I know the impacts of it. And while it says that it doesn't happen to us, so it's not a big theory about it, well, praise God, because when we minister to these people and many more, and God comes in and they accept God into their lives, God uses these people to go out and minister to 1,000 more. See, the system is not working anymore. The system out there, the relapse rate is great. They can't track success rates. The government cannot track success rates on drug and alcohol. But guess what? We can. You know why? Because when we say, hey, Melvin, hey, Thomas, can you come down to the church and speak? They're here. They don't have to go running out there. The government has set up a tracking system called Target, and they can't prove the success rates. And the reason why is because they left the most important thing out, God. And what I can't understand is that treatment consists of knowing a higher power. And then you go to AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, the third verse, number three, it talks about God. It has God there. But they want to take that, they want to minimize it, they want to distort it, they want to do everything else, and yet there's God on there, but they want to teach everything else but God. And as long as we're teaching everything else but God, we're not going to have success rates. And we have people here. We have people that can tell you how much. It's not about going in there and grumbling and making this a complaint session. You know, it's going in there and praying for one another. It's going in there and learning how to really work the steps. And so when we talk about having a Christ-centered 12-step, Christ-centered codependency, we are having a Christ-centered treatment program. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're not going to compromise the Word of God. Because we know that God is the only person that can heal, that can save. And guess what? Anything else out of that, we should be afraid. We should be afraid because we don't know what they're giving us. And if they're willing to give you anything, think about what happens when your child is out there and they're buying up these drugs out there, or your child's friend. They're going into drug pharmacies and all that and just taking things off the shelves. Hey, let's try this. They're becoming chemists before they went to school. And they say, let's put a little of this in there and a little of that, and they start mixing all these things in there. And then the children out there are buying these up, man. And they're getting addicted. They're getting all. They're getting mentally unstable. There's a drug out there called SHRM. How many of you guys heard what SHRM is? SHRM is a terrible thing. I asked a young guy who was in our group, I said, what is SHRM like? He said, it's like a walking dead man. And that's what they use to embalm bodies when the person dies. They take cigarettes, they dip that in there, and they smoke that, and they get high. So instead of being a lying dead man, they're a walking dead man. And so we need to be concerned because our society out there is being impacted. And our friends, our families, our relatives far away, they're being impacted by drugs and alcohol. And guess what? Drugs leads to sexual addiction. It does. Stimulants, cocaine, it does all that. It leads to sexual addiction. People are on the pornography, they're buying magazines, they're on the internet, they're looking up internet, chat talks and all of that, and they don't realize they have a problem. You hear about crystal meth up there. Crystal meth, if you do crystal meth once, you're addicted to it. It's not about drinking a bottle of beer and letting it progress for years and then becoming an alcoholic. Crystal meth, once you do it, you're addicted to it because you need more of it. That's how powerful the drug is. See, and that's what Satan uses to keep each and every one of people that's on drugs and alcohol in bondage. See, if he feels he can keep you in bondage or keep them in bondage, then he's destroyed the family. See, he's destroyed everything that he wanted to do. You ain't got your family. If drugs and alcohol has impacted your families, think about it. How many of you had to go through the court systems, had to fight with your son or daughter? That's what Satan wants. He wants to come in and tear up the families. Well, we're here to repair those families by bringing you the Word of God. And so if you guys know of anyone out there that really needs help and are seeking for help, tell them, come on down. You can't fool those guys. They've been down the road. You know, you may go in a meeting one time, and within 15 minutes, and you start talking, these guys will know whether you're telling the truth or not. My coordinators out there, they know. They've been down the road. So when you come, and you know people that's coming, and you're referring people, tell them to come with a sincere heart, because they're going to get pulled aside. Because it's all about ministering. It's all about learning how to walk with God. It's only about learning how to love God and how to become a living sacrifice. Because if you don't become a sacrifice, how can God use you? You're going to be stubborn one moment, willing the next moment. But if you become a living sacrifice, when God says, come, here I am, Lord. And that's what we want. That's what we want for the ministry. And so continue praying for these guys. Continue praying for those that's coming in. You know, we got an anger management that hasn't kicked off. We're looking to start a domestic violence, certified domestic violence program. Believe it or not, in our churches, not just this church because our church is so perfect, but in the other churches out there, there's a lot of domestic violence out there. A lot of domestic violence. And when you look at the domestic violence, you see drugs and alcohol involved. There's always drugs and alcohol involved. Drugs and alcohol will destroy a person's personality. When I look at these guys today, that's not the same guys that walked in the program 6 months ago. They are not the same guys that's been talking to you guys. And that's because they've allowed Christ in their lives. And that's how powerful God is. See, God, the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. See, and guess what? If you don't know Christ today, accept Christ. I mean, Hutch just led people in prayer to accept Christ. It's not just accepting Christ. It's about when you accept Christ, you get into your Word. You learn your Word. You learn about God. It's about having a daily prayer with Him. It's about going to church. It's about ministering. And so what these guys did was when they accepted Christ, they just gave up the rights to be who they were. And that's all it is. Giving up the rights and letting someone else take over. Because if we're in here because we had an issue, we're asking God to take over, then give up the rights now. Don't wait. And allow God to just come in and show you what He can do. Because it's a personal relationship between you and God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the guys that came up again to just give a short testimony, Lord. We thank You for this church. We thank You for the people that came, Lord, and continue to come, Lord. Father, we just ask that You bless each and every one of them, Lord. And Father, if You know anyone out there that may be of any that could use the conference, Lord, or use support, we pray that the Holy Spirit would go out and just encourage them, Lord, and entreat them, Lord, and let them know that we as a church care, and that's the reason why You have Your program here, Lord. We thank You again, Lord, for who You are and for what You are doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.